Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Joining me today is going to be the producer of VFN Radio, the one whose fault it is, and I just read his transcripts, his teleprompters, as we watch his forehead wrinkle up. Hello, humor, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hey, hello. The man who walks in such fear of the Lord is amazing. He carries his own book around. Hopefully we'll be hearing something about that in the extra hour. If you missed the first hour, you got to get a special bulletin report from Rick Joyner about the Boston bombings and the terrorist cells that are in America, and how we as a people, as an American citizen, but also as Christians, have an obligation to respond, and he kind of gives us a perspective there. You don't want to miss this first hour. Also, you can catch it in the highlights. Hope we get a chance to be able to talk about Helga's diary. CBN did a spot on it. It's just powerful. It helped us understand that's the direction things are going. If we don't understand, it's a child's perspective of the concentration camps. That is a minimal thing of what the adversary wanted to do to Jews and Christians today. So if we today respond and say, you know what, I'm going to follow God, we can prevent that. And so much more. You're listening to VFN Radios. Hopefully you get a chance to get to the Malachi prophecy too. As I always say, I never would have said anything about that, but we're letting Sid Roth do this interview with the ones who wrote the two books with Tom Horn and Chris Putnam. It is amazing, their research in their interviews with the Catholic Church themselves and what they're saying. Not all Catholics, just the one Catholics they're talking about, and he kind of clarifies that in his interview. Today it's going to be the, I believe, seventh part of a 10-part interview. You don't want to miss this. This is VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and maybe Chris.
Yeah.
Here we are. My goodness, was that not something?
Wow, amazing.
You know, but is that not exactly what we've been, you know, God's been laying on our heart? If you've been listening to VFN Radio, we've been talking about these things, and we're trying to rediscover, you know, America again. We're trying to rediscover the original tent of America, the original tent of the church. Mm-hmm. And if we don't rediscover these things, we won't have either one of them. God's kingdom will go on, but the thing that we perceive as the church, we could actually be in bondage and captivity. But we won't know until we actually research that and find out what the original intent is and seek the Lord. And we're finding out that I think it's really written well, the perspective that God gave Rick Joyner in the vision of the call. And it showed many of the church in prisons. They're just in prisons, mm-hmm. which is captivity. I mean, obviously, it's not in a prison yet. And and how blinded we are, that we don't even see that's where we are, mm-hmm. and that we're called to go into all the world, but to step outside this prison, is there's gatekeepers and there's people who fire things at people who begin to get a vision for outside the prison, mm-hmm. and to get outside of this prison, because when people begin to see, they get vision, they can see and get hopeful and start realizing the God of the Bible is the God of today, then those who try to keep people confined because they themselves are held captive by the adversary to do his will, they will begin to attack a seer. Somebody who can see, they'll begin to attack that person. Don't take it personal. Realize that they are people held captive by the adversary. They don't realize, you know, there'll be a day. This is what Jesus said. There'll be a day that people kill you and think that they're doing him a favor.
Right.
They're not, but that's what they think. And so just move on beyond that. Quit looking for man's approval. Be more concerned about God's approval. You know, John Bevere writes in his book, The Fear of the Lord, you know, you serve what you fear. If you fear right. man, you serve man. If you fear God, you serve God. You cannot fear man and serve God because you serve what you fear.
Yeah.
And so many people have a fear of man. What's so interesting is you have, you know, this one man or woman who fears man, and they fear this one man or this one woman, but yet that one man or woman also fears man and their fear. And I was like, everybody's fearing everybody. He's like, how about fearing God here?
Hello.
How about serving the God of the Bible?
Right.
How about making Jesus the Lord of your life again? Because mm-hmm. what we just heard in the first hour is we got to have a great awakening of the church. Oh, sleeper, wake up. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the kings, how many kings were there before Israel went into captivity? How many leaders were there? You know, think about it. It wasn't that many. And what are we, our own president, like 44, 45, someone 44? Mm-hmm. I went, hey, that's a lot. That's a lot of leaders, isn't it? And so you think about, okay, we could just walk into captivity like somebody else.
That's right.
And things are being set up in our nation right now. And I truly believe you need to go to listen this, to the state of our nation on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com. You got to watch these prophetic teachings. The state of a nation is America under judgment. Josiah, it's so important to understand Josiah, because despite all the wrongness, Josiah, when he found out what the rightness was, he did it. And God was so impressed. The word of God says there never was a king before him or after him that was that good. And he stopped God's definite judgment on a generation, or at least as long as he was alive and was in rulership. He paused. He put, because God was bringing this on his people. He's about to bring down, you know, great captivity and suffrage on his people. And one man who read the word of God and believed what God said and responded to it and began to preach to others, he stopped. He put God's judgment on pause. And somebody says, well, that's pretty cool. Well, what's so cool about that is this. Others can be saved. Mm-hmm. People can come to the Lord. You know, people can turn. And if enough turn, if God would pause it for Josiah, right, wouldn't he pause it for Jehoiakim? Wouldn't he pause it for Hezekiah? And these are just lineages after him. Mm-hmm. And, but as soon as he died, at the hand of Pharaoh, by the way, you know, an Egyptian pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And he went to go be with us. They carried his Bible. I could really feel the pain of a man who paused the judgment. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the people, their pain, when they realized that he was the thumb in the proverbial dike that was going to hold back this flood that was going to destroy us. And his limp body coming back from the river where his life was taken. And he's not, at that point, he's with God. And they're carrying his body back. And it talks about, you know, the year that King Josiah died. Mm-hmm. Because that was the turning point, you know. And I can just imagine carrying this hope back. Mm. You know, and it's over at this point. You know, at that point, one of his sons pop up and they go, oh, I'll do this thing. And that's about a 90-day job.
Yeah, right.
And then and he tries to make a partnership with Egypt. He thinks he's got it all figured out, and they take him down. And then Josiah's other son goes in, and they put him into place. And this is Josiah's son. That's a normal progression of a reign. The difference is that was God's order, but God did not have his heart. He made a pact, a covenant, if you would, with Egypt. And Egypt changed his name to Jehoiakim, which means a man that God raised up.
Right.
And God set man. And he had this detailed partnership with Egypt. Mm-hmm. And what that meant too was that he was going to pay excessive money to Egypt. He's going to pay tribute to them, which means we got money, we're going to gather it together, and we're going to give it to you. That was how he's going to pay tribute to Egypt.
Right.
And so to do that, he brought excessive taxes on Israel. And so all of a sudden, the taxes have been raised to this high level, and even to the point of some quotes, even in some of the leaders today, says 100% tax
right.
is a fair tax. But hey, you know, if we didn't give God our heart, he's saying is that's servitude, by the way, 100% tax. Mm-hmm. You work, you got nothing, we give you bread and water, that type of thing. And so this transference of wealth that we're seeing take place today is taking place because we've sinned. Mm-hmm. But when we see Ahab, you know, he didn't repent and humble himself and God respond. when we see Nineveh repent and they humble themselves and God stops the plans he intended to bring destruction, when we read about, you know, in Ezekiel 33, where I believe where he says, you know, if you warn the people and they respond and things stop, that we can stop this. I mean, this is a huge sign before. I was talking about harbingers. Listen, I'm talking to you now about them. We're paying tribute to not only Egypt, but also to the Islamic world, where we're sending our money all over the place. We're paying tribute to every nation out there, almost, it seems like. And it's because we've sinned. It's because we've sinned. We've turned away from God's original intent for us, the lordship of Jesus Christ in our life and his word and his expectations of us. And what Josiah did, I'm just giving you a taste of this, that Josiah, the religious leaders of that day, put all kinds of wrong things in their hearts, in the temple of God, know that we are the temple of God. So stuff to us today, it's like stuff in us.
Mm-hmm.
And God touched Josiah's heart, who started at a young age as a leader. And he sent some people to go clean it out, clean out the house of God. And that's what we need to do, is just clean our hearts out.
All right.
And when he did that, all of a sudden these priests, these preachers, they come out of the temple because they know that these guys are going to go back and dig in the back room and find something called the Word of God. And they come out and they say, looky what we found. It's like, really? Are you serious? I mean, you're actually a priest. I mean, you're actually a preacher. You're the one. This is how this whole thing works.
All right.
The building that you're in was designed through in the Word of God. And so then he says, I want it read to me. And so he has the secretary read it to him, and he's shocked. Josiah is shocked that God's people were totally in rebellion to his word. He was just shocked. He couldn't believe it. And then he realized God's anger is burning against us. Listen, America, God's anger is burning against us. Shut your ears to the person who says his anger is not burning. His anger, listen, if his anger was burning against Israel, who do you think you are as an American to think that God's not anger's not burning against you or me or us? God's anger, he realized when he got in the word, he realized this is not right. And he ripped his clothes. He took his clothes and he ripped his robe and he personally repented and got his life right before God and all the people. He first dealt with himself, and that's what we have to first do, is deal with ourselves. We got to repent for our own sin. We got to humble ourselves and come to the cross of Jesus and make things right with God and serve him and him only and begin to be his disciple, learn his ways, follow them, abide with him, and obey him in the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And understand that, then he began to talk to others and tell them what he learned and what he's personally walking on. A lot of times, the reason why people ain't listening to you is because you're not walking in the very thing that you're talking about.
Right.
But you have to be a doer of the word and not just somebody just talking about it. And when you do, God's presence is with you, and it doesn't mean they're going to follow you, but at least that you know now you're actually delivered in the right way that they could hear it. So Josiah did that. And then he began to tear down all these high places, all these Moloch altars all over the place. What's a Moloch altar in America? It just happens to have a stucco building around it, a shopping center building around it. But if you go all the way down in there, you'll see a metal table in there. And that's exactly on this metal table where they sacrifice children to Moloch. It's called abortion.
Right.
So it's taking place. Innocent blood. This is exactly why God was bringing judgment above all things, because of the innocent blood. Manasseh shed so much blood. It was bloodshed from end to end of Israel. And God was telling Josiah that judgment is going to come. It's over. And so when Josiah began to repent, and you can watch this prophetic teaching on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and look at your menu up there, and you'll see VFN TV in the middle there. Hit that, and you'll see several prophetic teachings to encourage you. But this one called Josiah, you have to understand it, because when he did that, God thought so much. Listen, Josiah was like, prior to that, obviously a wicked man because he didn't have any righteousness or righteous ways in him. But he repented. Once he found out what was right, he repented. That's all God wants from us.
Right.
So often the enemy beats us up because we made so many mistakes from yesterday back. We think, how can from today on be right? It's called forgiveness. It's called the mercy and grace of God.
Right.
Don't let your past override your destiny and your future. Look at Josiah's life, because once he found out what was right, he did what was right, and God honored him. And because he was king, he was the decider, he could go and tell people, listen, this is how it's going to be. We're going to tear down these altars. We're going to serve God. And he began to teach the word of God and have it taught over the people and said, this is who we're going to follow. We're going to follow God. And God kept them and blessed them and described Josiah as there never was a king before or after like him. I mean, he was an awesome dude, an awesome king. And once he found out what was right, he did what was right. But then, like I said, upon his death, and imagine, this is the man, this is the whole thing. Now it rides on, will those who were following him as he followed God, will they follow God? Were they just doing it to please him, or were they doing it to please God? Because if you're doing what you're doing to please God, it doesn't matter what happens to anybody. You're still going to walk with God. It's not contingent upon anybody. Like in the first hour, Rick Joyner said, and this is what I live my life by, if we're doing what we do the right way, if whatever reason we were to be taken out, nothing's going to stop, because you've been taught to hear the voice of God, and you've been taught how to be a disciple of God, and how to make disciples, and how to be safe in him. So it's not, you should never minister in such a way that everything rides on you. You should be constantly empowering people to walk with God. We don't have positions of power, but empowerment. You're going to answer from making them, you know, dependent on you instead of dependent on God, by the way. Because he said in the last days, men will worship angels, the word angels, messenger. And I wonder if you're having them worship you instead of worship God.
Mm.
Question. So anyway, so Josiah, here he is. He's dead now, like I was saying. They're carrying his limp body. And you're thinking, what's going to happen? I mean, imagine how tragic this is, because this man, once he heard, and all you have left is his body, because his spirit's with God now. And they're carrying him back. And you're thinking, what's going to happen next?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen next? And quite often, it's amazing what happens when a leader passes, how people act. It's like, really? Are you serious? What you doing?
Right.
God's watching you. And they began to do evil. Immediately his son takes over and starts leading, and he lasts for 90 days, and he does more evil, just like the same evil, maybe even worse evil, and he provoked God.
Yeah.
And at this point, because God had already spoken judgment over the next son that got in place, he was chosen by Egypt. He was chosen by Egypt, and they changed his name. They didn't use the name Josiah gave him. They gave him the name that they wanted to give him, which was Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim means God's set man, a man that God raised up. So many people think, well, how can an ungodly person, an idolater, somebody who just, you know, denies Jesus Christ, how can they be used to put somebody in place? It's only because you're part of the 81% that don't read the word God. It's not that complicated. It happens all the time.
That's right.
God uses the wicked to punish and discipline his church all the time. And then once he finishes with the punishment, then he whacks the wicked.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, so they put him in place, and they name him Jehoiakim, which means, you know, God has raised him up, God's set man. And Egypt did this. Where was the first international speech of our current president, President Barack Obama? It was in Cairo, Egypt, at Cairo University. And it was a point of painting a picture to empower, create an atmosphere that would promote the atmosphere to bring and accept the Muslim Brotherhood, who was banned by Mubarak prior to that from even being there.
Mm-hmm.
And to let them rise to power. And that's exactly what happened. Now the Muslim Brotherhood is over Egypt. Listen, we have so much to share with you on this. Listen, and I got to tell you, you got to connect this. It's so important, because you're going to be surprised to find out who Josiah is. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
Can employees have religious items displayed in their work area? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I work at a facility and they do not allow me to put up religious emblems or religious sayings in my cubicle where I work. And I was just wondering what the law was, whether or not they have the right to make me take these things down.
If they allow personal artifacts, personal posters, reports, these kind of things, artwork to be hung in a cubicle area, they should not say yours is inappropriate. Let me get you in touch with our lawyers at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we will get some information to you and see if we can help you out on what is an important subject and one that has a great deal of confusion, but really the answer in the law is quite direct on this, so we'll get some help to you from our lawyers at the ACLJ.
The American Center for Law and Justice is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to, and not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. Mm. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today, and God's bringing people to Himself. And you know, basically, people that have been inside something are heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you, and that's where you go. You go. You stay. You relate. You know. You function, and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but He won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God. You can go back and watch that on BFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, mm-hmm. who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we'd want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits. And these strange people show up, knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ, you loved each other, you ate together, you blessed each other, you blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children. Even on their journeys, and so when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name, and it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That yeah. entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, mm-hmm. and they're going to relate to you. And every you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me. So I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, helping him or her carry that load. And I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together. And just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And mm-hmm. and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and Chris. Listen, we were just talking about Josiah, and I want to get to the Malachi prophecies, the seventh part of the Sid Roth interview with Tom Horn and Chris Putnam. Understand this, that Josiah, when he died, who actually put the next leader in place, even though he was Josiah's son, or you could say with us, even though it's American, mm-hmm. the choice of that leader was chosen by Egypt.
Yeah.
And when you look at what's going on, it's just like, it looks like we have, on the best case scenario is somebody that is so Egyptian friendly that we teach sensitivity training for Islam to our people, that all of a sudden we're more Islamists than we are Americans. Mm. We're more sensitive to Islam than we are to our Constitution. We're more sensitive to Muhammad than we are to Jesus. And it's like, okay, that's tribute. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
That's tribute. This is a warning to us because this is what he says in Ezekiel. When I bring the sword against you, think about it. If you could describe what radical Islam is, or the Muslim Brotherhood, and you can see even on this post, there's related articles down below if you're listening to it on The Torch, and you can go to The Torch at vfntv.com and just look at Muslim Brotherhood 101 and see what they believe. Talk about jihadists, what you just saw happen in the Boston bombing, for example. That was jihad, holy war. Mm-hmm. And they see this as a positive thing, and we see it as an ungodly thing. It's not a godly thing.
Right.
And with that, so the next leader of God's people was Jehoiakim, which is God's set man, the man that God raised up. And he put God's people under deep, deep taxation. So what is happening right now in front of us? Well, let me tell you, this is your harbinger. Jehoiakim, our current president, which Americans voted for, so you can't blame it on him. You got to understand, this is what America asked for, is now overtaxing. He is openly saying, I think we should be taxed more. I think we should provide more services, which means more taxes and healthcare and taxes and mm-hmm. you know, sending money to Brazil to drill for oil while banning us drilling for oil here. You know, sending jets and billions of dollars to Egypt while we were trying to struggling to get by, borrowing more and more money from other countries and indebting us. That's called a harbinger, that this is a warning to us that we can repent. It's not over if we repent. Right. Problem is who's listening?
Right.
Who is listening to this warning? And he says, if we do respond to the warning, then God will turn. And what happens then with Zedekiah, which is the son of Josiah, is God set. He was God's set man. And I truly believe, I just have no doubt that the reason why President Obama is president, because God allowed him to be, because he chooses the leaders and controls their hearts. You know, and that's what the people asked for. Like everybody asked, didn't want Samuel. They wanted another king, right?
Right.
And you can listen to SOS, which is a prophetic teaching on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com, and it's probably even connected to this particular post as well if you're listening on the torch. But he's God set men to humble us, to go through all those processes, to allow the pressures to get on us, to see if the hardship will cause us to turn back to God. And we're believing that you will. We're believing that you're going to let everything's got to go. I got to have God, that you're just going to turn back to God. And no longer will 97% of the church be robbing God of his tithes and offerings. No longer with the word of God be buried somewhere back in your back room like it was with Israel, the word of God. You're going to pull it out and not only be a reader of it, but you're going to be a hearer and a doer of God's word and blessed in all that you do. That's what we're believing for with this great. That's why we have the third hour with the awakening taking place and the healing revival coming out of South Africa, because it was spoken over America that America would come into a revival or maybe even an awakening, that it would come from Africans. And because of what happened in America, and here it is right now, it's just the anointing is coming out of South Africa around the world, and America's being touched by it, and you can hear it in the third hour. Listen, we need to wake up, because the next one, Egypt takes down Jehoiakim and who they put in place, and then they set another man in place, and they name him Zedekiah. This is the uncle of Jehoiakim, and they're the ones that put him in place. And his name means God is just and righteous. Right now, we just have God set men to humble us. And we're talking to the church here. We're not talking to the world, but obviously experiencing the same humility here. Mm-hmm. And because he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek his face, then he'll hear from heaven and heal our land. It's us. And so because they didn't respond to Jehoiakim, God's set man, to humble them, God allows Egypt to put in place Zedekiah. And Zedekiah's name represents God is just and righteous. That's what this means. Jehovah is just and righteous. That all of a sudden now you're going to look at the gavel of judgment is going to start coming down on all of our sins and where we've done, the innocent blood and all the things that have happened. And this is when Israel is taken under Babylonian captivity. At first, it was just Egypt. But now God raises up, quote, his servant Nebuchadnezzar, unquote, to be able to take Israel under captivity. And so that happens under Zedekiah's rule. But it was God's set man that progressed to this whole thing. Mm. Listen, this is the direction that we're going. We're going in the direction of Babylonian captivity. We're under, and the history of the world is servitude. And it is, we are in a great experiment that God has blessed us with called freedom and democracy, and that we are a republic, a representative form of government. And we're not a democratic government. We're a democracy that's a republic, which means we're a representative government, that if we will turn to God, things just turn around because it's so important. And this all started, remember, when I was talking to you about Josiah when he had died. But God put judgment on pause because Josiah read the word of God or had it read to him, and he repented and he realized God's anger was burning against him. Because he was a king, he could do that and tell the people, take down this high place, tear that down over here. He would teach the word of God and says, this is what we'll do. But the difficulty in America is this. You cannot preach the gospel from Washington, D.C. because it's a representative form of government. We send them there. We are the ones that are the, quote, kings, unquote, in America. It's a government by the people and for the people. We are Josiah. We are Josiah. But are we ripping our clothes? Are we reading the word of God? Not right now. But if we do, this thing can turn around. God can put this whole thing on pause to give us time to reboot and go back to original founding fathers, God's purpose over this nation and of the church. Listen, we are Josiah. D.C. is not my problem. D.C. is not your problem. We are our own problem. We choose who's there, and we choose our leaders. Find out more by going to VFNTV.com and watch VFNTV's Josiah, and you'll understand more. Listen, we want to be able to go right straight into the interview with Sid Roth. He's interviewing Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, the authors of Exo Vaticano, and I believe his other book is Petros Romanos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about this Malachi prophecy that is 900 years old. It's coming to pass as we speak. And they even wrote in the book that before it even happened, that that Pope Benedict would step down just as he did. And this would be the last pope before the coming of the Antichrist.
Right.
I mean, listen to this. I mean, we're just letting you hear it for yourself, and you learn for yourself, and search this out to find out to be true.
Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man, getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. There was a book that a lot of people are talking about. It's called Petrus Romanus, and it was a book that literally rocked a lot of people, because it came out just about the time that the Pope retired and the new Pope was going to be announced, and it was predicted in this book it would happen. It had to do with the Malachi prophecies of where each Pope, Saint Malachi, had a revelation from God in which he knew what each pope would do in order. And it was amazing how it was so fulfilled. But then Tom, and I have Tom Horn, the co-author of the book, just briefly, what can we expect from the last pope?
Well, what we can expect from the last pope, Sid, if Catholic mystics throughout time have been correct, is that this will be a pope who, one way or another, is either going to be under the control of dark forces, or he's going to be duped. But one way or the other, he's going to help give rise to the kingdom of the Antichrist. And when you look around the world today and all of the signs and times, it appears that this intergalactic wise man we were talking about in the other shows, this superior intelligence that's going to appear with all lying signs and wonders, that his coming may be imminent. And if it is, then of course this tells us that the coming of Christ, the rapture of the church, these two are imminent.
Now, some say that the last pope will be under the influence of the Antichrist. What do you think?
Well, definitely, I think everything that we've done in terms of research, Sid, does point to the fact that this is going to be a pope or an anti-pope who is going to help give rise to the Antichrist. And you know something else that's also astonishing about this is a 700-year-old prophecy that is in the Zohar that sounds almost identical in some cases to the 900-year-old medieval prophecy of the popes. Now, the Zohar, as many of your listeners might know, this is the most important work of Jewish Kabbalah. It's a collection of books written in medieval Aramaic over 700 years ago that has mystical commentary on the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, right? The Torah.
Right.
But in addition to interpreting the scripture, there's a section called the Vayera section that has a subsection called the Signs Heralding Mashiach, or the Coming of the Messiah. And the fascinating date for his appearance in the Zohar is set in the Jewish calendar year 5773, which began just 5 months ago in our Gregorian calendar in September of the new moon, 2012, and it runs through this year, 2013, to August. And the fascinating date that they set is almost identical to the very time now that we are electing who would be the final pope in a 900-year-old prophecy. And let me just give you a very quick reading of a part of what this prophecy in the Zohar says. Quote, in the year 5773, that's 2012-2013 in our Gregorian calendar, the kings of the world will assemble in the great city of Rome. Now, let me stop there for just a moment and point out that the only time that we know when either the kings of the earth or their representatives, their ambassadors, would be gathering in the great city of Rome, the only time that would happen would be during a conclave or during the inauguration of the new pope. And it says, at that time, I'm going to start quoting again now, the Holy One will shower on them fire and hail and meteoric stones until they are destroyed, with the exception of those who will not yet have arrived there. That sounds almost identical to the prophecy of the popes, where when Petrus Romanus takes his throne, it's going to ultimately lead to the destruction of Rome. And then it says this, from that time the Messiah will begin to declare himself, and around him there will be gathered many nations and many hosts from the uttermost ends of the earth, end quote. So, Sid, we have an extraordinary 700-year-old prophecy from Orthodox Jews who had rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And so we know that they are actually looking to who we would call the Antichrist, the one who for a short period of time, the Jews are going to accept him as their Messiah. Ultimately, many of them will realize they've made a mistake, and there will be many Jews that then will be saved during this great tribulation period. But they set that time specifically for the year that we are right now in the middle of, 2012 to 2013, and it's unfolding at exactly the same time that a 900-year-old medieval Catholic prophecy is seeing the arrival of the final pope on its list. And I should add one other final quick thing, that these Jews could not have known about the prophecy of the popes because it was concealed inside the Vatican Library and was not published until 1595, 200 years after they made this prediction. So there is something very preternatural that is going on here with ancient sources, some of them occultic sources, all of which for some reason seem to be fixated on something that starts in 2012, and we won't have time to talk about it. People can read it in the book that you have exclusivity to, but it's also related to the year 2016, 3.5 years later.
Okay, I want you to take me from the last pope with your sanctified imagination, with your knowledge of Scripture and your knowledge of what's going on in the realm of aliens and ET. Paint me a picture of what's coming.
What's coming is what the world has been waiting for a very long time. In Christian eschatology, we've always thought of a future in which a man of superior intelligence, wit, charm, diplomacy is going to descend from the clouds and emerge on the world scene as a savior. He's going to seemingly possess transcendent wisdom that enables him to solve all of our problems. He's going to offer solutions to our leaders and to the chaos that is gripping today's world. He's going to be popular. His popularity will be widespread. His fans are going to be young and old, religious, non-religious, male, female. Talk show hosts are going to be interviewing his colleagues, news anchors. They're all going to be celebrating his arrival, but his profound comprehension and irresistible presence is actually going to be the result of an invisible network of thousands of years of collective knowledge. He is going to be the embodiment of a very old, super intelligent spirit. Just like Jesus Christ was the seed of the woman, he's going to be the seed of the serpent, according to Genesis 3:15. And his arrival has been foretold by you and by Scriptures, Sid, but the broad masses of the world are not going to recognize him as the ultimate incarnation of the beast of Revelation 13:1. And I believe that everything we've done, hundreds of pages of research, thousands of authoritative endnotes, all point to the fact that we have now entered into the countdown for the arrival of the false prophet and the Antichrist of biblical fame. So this is a time for believers to know who they are and to know their authority and to look up and to make sure that they're living right before God, because any moment now, the world's going to be taken off guard.
Now, tell me some of the research that you have uncovered within the Catholic Church that will cause them to be deceived also.
this is extraordinary. There's been testimony among numerous highly placed church experts who believe that a satanic deception is very real and it is operating inside the Leonine walls of the Holy See. Monsignor Luigi Marinelli wrote a book in 1999 called Gone with the Wind in the Vatican. 100,000 copies sold in 3 weeks. But if you read the book, all he talks about is Satanism being practiced by certain cardinals in the Vatican. It's extraordinary. Archbishop Emmanuel Malungo, in a speech at the Our Lady of Fatima 2000 International Conference, said that there were high-ranking members of the church hierarchy who were not true Catholics. They're not true believers. They're infiltrators, and they're in league with Satan. Of course, that's something that the late exorcist and maverick professor, Jesuit Malachi Martin, also said. As a matter of fact, when the magazine, the Fatima Crusader, asked Martin about the alarm that had been raised over Malungo's claim that high-ranking Vatican officials were working with Satan to bring about the incarnation of an evil spirit in a final pope. In fact, Martin wrote a book called The Final Conclave, in which he saw the end of the prophecy of the popes and the incarnation of the false prophet, and he replied to their inquiry, and he said, anybody who's acquainted with the state of affairs in the Vatican in the last 35 years is well aware that the Prince of Darkness has had and continues to have his surrogates in the court of St. Peter in Rome. These are Jesuits. These are people who are dedicated to the preservation of the true Catholic faith. So these are not enemies. These are not, people who are trying to take cheap shots at the Vatican. They're part of it. And you've seen in recent news, the Italian news media right now is burning up with alleged gay sex scandals in the Vatican, claims of child sexual abuse by priests, all that stuff. But all of that, according to guys like Malachi Martin, was really just the surface evidence of something much deeper that did not reflect the true Catholic faith, and that these people have been working for some time to bring about the inception and embodiment in flesh of an immaterial spirit that would fill the final pope. In fact, if you have ever read any of Malachi's books, you know that he talked about the enthronement of the fallen archangel Lucifer in the Roman Catholic Citadel in June of 1963. And all of that, he said, is connected to what would come. Now, he died, and he's not going to see it happen in the same way we are, but boy, does it appear that everything now that's unfolding around the world, including at Rome, is a fulfillment of what some of these Catholic prophets, theologians, and seers said would come.
You can't possibly understand end times without these two books. They document secret files in the Vatican Library and belief in aliens. Petrus Romanus, The Last Pope, is the first book, hidden in Vatican libraries 900 years ago. There was a vision of the next 112 popes. Stunning accuracy of the first 111. Now, this last pope will take office for the final judgment. The second book, literally just off the press, not available in bookstores exclusively with our ministry, is called Exo Vaticanum. It documents the Vatican plans for arrival of an alien god with a small g from another planet and complete reevaluation of Christianity from the Vatican. Both books available for a gift of $35.
It's amazing what they're finding out through their research, and they're actually interviewing Catholics who are giving this information. And you've got to say, and I truly, I'm pretty sure, that how you're probably receiving this if you're part of the 97% that don't see the Word of God, the Bible, as something significant that you need to read. 81% don't even read it at all. And the only 3% of the do actually apply it to their hearts. This is probably shocking to you. So I'm going to read just a little bit right here before we close to understand. This is in Genesis, and this is what Jesus said. Jesus said this, obviously, in the New Testament, as we're reading it, it'll be in Matthew 24. He's telling us that they're wondering, they're saying, what will it be like? And when you hear all of these interviews, you hear us talking about this. But they're saying, what will it be like when you return? And these particular authors, Tom and Chris, and as Sid Roth is interviewing them, and we're just listening to the interview, they're saying, you know, this, these things are going to happen, and this means that the coming of our Lord is near, to look up and that he will soon return. And these are things that, that the Word of God said it would be like. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, he tells us that, because they're asking the question, you know, when are you going to come? What is it going to be like? And he responds to them in Matthew 24 that it's going to be just like the days of Noah. He says, for it's Matthew 24, chapter 24, verse 38. He says, for in the days of Noah, now back to verse 36, he says, no one will know about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son of Man, but only the Father. As it is written, in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Think about that. So we can go back and look at what happened in the days of Noah. Mm-hmm. And in Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the flood and days of Noah. And what happened at verse 6, verse 1, he says, when men began to increase in number on the earth, and the daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them that they chose. Understand this. The sons of God, that's the angels, angels. So angels, the fallen angels, saw these women, and they thought, well, they're beautiful. And mm-hmm. So you had second heaven, the fallen angels, come together with these women, and they had a child. They had children. So these children were, you know, part fallen angel, mm-hmm. and part angel, right? And then part human. And I'm just telling you what, you know, I know. Right.
Is this true?
But no, in regards to me, I mean, this is something I would never say. I mean, even if I had to say it, I would say it like I'm saying it now. Because you have to prepare. And then he says in verse 3, he says, then the Lord said, my spirit will not always contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. So at that point, that's when God lowered his years down. But listen to this. This is what I was talking about. Verse 4. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God went to be with the daughters of men and had children by them, they were heroes of old, men of renown. And think about it. Today, Hollywood is so prepared people to receive some hero thing. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what it looks like, whether it's a rubbery thing or a fiery thing or a whatever, you know. And if it comes down, when you look at Superman, when you look at the original Superman, he came from another planet. Mm-hmm. You know, Krypton, I guess. I don't know what it was. He came from another planet. And you think about it, it's like, wow, that's like a Nephilim.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm glad I don't have an S on my phone. Anyway, so this is what's going to happen, and what's going to happen because of that insurgence of that whole situation, and you know, I guess the daughters of men and the sons of God, the fallen angels, that's going to come out of that is some sort of being that's going to have the intellect of all that's gone before, because now, as you can see, a four-year-old can get on the internet and find out anything.
Yeah.
And so they'll have access to, and everything's being built to be able to have this kind of, because obviously Satan doesn't have, he's not all-knowing, he's not omnipotent,
right.
He's not omnipresent, he doesn't know all things, he can't be everywhere at the same time, so he has to have these kind of mechanisms, which we're seeing developed today, the beast economy. You know, as he talks about in Revelations, as the Word of God talks about in Revelation. And so these things are all coming to pass. And this is the biggest thing I think that we heard in this interview by Sid Roth with these two writers of the book, you know, Exo Vaticana and the other book that they wrote, was that what this all means is this. We've now entered into the countdown to the arrival of the Antichrist.
Wow.
Think about that. Think about that. We've now entered into the countdown to the arrival of the Antichrist. Obviously, there's a lot of Antichrist spirit that's in the lands, and all the Antichrist religions. I mean, Islam in itself says that Jesus is not the Son of God. And when you look at this wife of this terrorist that just murdered these people in Boston, she was reportedly a Christian that married a Muslim and then converted. But when you convert from Christianity to Islam, you are denying Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That's why they're talking to Pastor Saeed right now in Iran. They're saying, listen, you need to join Islam. You need to convert. And he's going like, I can't. To convert would be to acknowledge Muhammad as a messenger from God. And Muhammad says Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, which means for me to deny he's the Son of God. So he can't. He can't do that. And so for her to do that, and she totally renounced Jesus Christ when she did that. And now look at her life. I mean, her sons, I mean, her whole, everything's just totally, this is where we are. And understand that Satan wants to be worshiped. He wants to be worshiped. And those that are led by their flesh, that they're themselves, their the idolatry, they want to be worshiped. It's all about them. And he said, in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that's amazing. That's amazing. We're seeing these things happen so quickly. Because what you understand is that it has to be a strategy, because you're made in the likeness of God, and that you have a brain, you have an authority. And if it doesn't happen quickly, you know, we're going to shake ourselves and go, wait a minute, this is not right. And all of a sudden we start preaching the truth, and the power of God begins to change things. So deception has to fall on the land. And all of a sudden this great, hey, we're going to do this great stuff for you. Don't worry about it. We're going to take care of everything. All you got to do is just continue to play your digital games. And, you know, this is, people ask me, like, what kind of games do you have on your phone? I was like, games?
What?
Phone? What are you talking about? It's like, you paid all that money for a game carrying device? And this is kind of where people, you know, in the context of that. And so here we are right now. Of all the things we heard so much in this interview so far. This is part 7 of the 10 part. You got to hear them all. Is this statement here. What does it mean by this? If Malachi's prophecy is true, and all this is convergence. Now, we're not looking at this one. And obviously, if this is the only thing we were hearing, you wouldn't even be hearing this now. This is just a convergence of so many things taking place. And if you hadn't heard convergence yet, you need to hear it. And it's probably in related articles, even if you're listening right now. Convergence, a prophetic word. This is what we heard. If this truly is that final pope that they're talking about, and they did predict that Benedict would step down exactly like it did, just like it happened, and this would come in, and Malachi predicted it would be this particular one, and it had to be a Roman. His parents were born in Rome, all these different things. The first thing he did was pray with the Antichrist spirit, which is Muslim. They prayed with Islam. But this is it. Listen. And this is not all Catholics. Listen, all Catholics are not. This is, we're talking about the leaders and the people that are doing this. Listen, anybody that makes Jesus the Lord of their life, you know, and accepts his lordship in their life and follows him, they're Christians. They're saved. Doesn't matter what organization they may be around. This is what they said. What does all this mean if this is true? It means that we've now entered into the countdown to the arrival of the Antichrist. You're listening to VFN Radio. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.